All right, that's on page 9 in yours, is that right?
Yes.
All right, on how to study the Bible, we're talking about what's so special about the books of the Bible on page 9.
Page 9.
Okay. On G. Now, we settled last week on that you'll never understand everything in the Bible. There are some things that are just core and basic that anybody can know, and you never doubt, all right? You never doubt that there's a God. Even your own conscience says that. You never doubt the fact that there are absolute rights and wrongs. Everybody's got that in their conscience. So when you come to the Bible, your conscience will resonate with the Bible because the Bible is already written there. What will not resonate with it is your will. What will not get along with the Bible is your will. Therefore, sin will always become a driving force between you and the Bible. As a matter of fact, the most dangerous person on this planet is not someone who rejects the Bible, but someone who uses the Bible to justify their sin. That is the most dangerous person. When you're growing as a Christian and you're loving the Bible and you're obeying the Bible, you're safe. You're fine. But when you start to love sin more than you love God, when you start to bring your desire to have your own way to the Bible, you'll start to interpret it. Especially when you can get a crowd, when you get people coming to listen to you teach the Bible and to you become a religious leader, you will gladly, and that's the problem with our hearts, is you'll gladly reject what you know to be true and supplement it or supplant it with a new doctrine, new truth, because of sin, because of pride, because of the want for to be loved and to be appreciated more and worshipped more than God. So the most dangerous person on this planet is who?
Don't believe.
Not that they don't believe the Bible. That's not the most dangerous person.
Not to follow the Bible. Not following the Bible.
What is the most? But no, even not following. You're that's true. But they're not the most dangerous. Jesus said, "I would you are hot or cold."
Use the Bible to do wrong things.
Yes, to do your own will, mm-hmm. to do things that end up being against God. So, where will most people turn in their Bible when they are wanting to do their own thing? What scriptures will they spend their time studying? The confusing ones. The ones that are hard to be understood. They will focus on the contradictory verses and they will set their battles there instead of on the simple scriptures and the powerfully plain scriptures. It's just to let you know that you're never going to understand the whole Bible. And when you start becoming what Hebrews calls becoming obsessed with scriptures, what does, I can't remember, sorry, the actual phrase here in Hebrews, that the heart be established with grace and not with meats. Let's see if it says, if I can find out what it says here. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein or obsessed therein. And when you find yourself so obsessed with things that are controversial and contradictory and things like that, there's not that there's not controversy, and there's not that there's not contradictory things and troublesome things in your mind in the Bible. But it's when you neglect the very basic, strong, true things that you become a danger. So, all right. So what's so special about the books of the Bible? All right. Well, number one, I'm preaching to the choir, but the Bible has the answers. There are three ultimate questions which every person needs to answer as early as possible, especially, Dominic's age. Where did I come from? Now, what does the government want you to tell them? Well, you came from mommy and daddy, and you came because we had sexual relations. I don't know, where did I come from? Who actually made me? How did I get here? God made you. Now, he used mom and dad, yes. But mom and dad can't make life. God gives life. So people need to know, where did I come from? Am I an accident, a robot, or a miracle? Why am I here? At the youngest age, the most important answer, if you're an atheist, why are you here? To aggravate the Christian. That's the only purpose for an atheist. But what is an atheist? They're not going to have an answer for why they're here, are they? I'm just here using up resources. I should die early so that I can save the earth. Number three, where am I going? I'm on a journey. Where am I headed? Is there more than this brief life? Those questions cannot be answered by atheism. They cannot be answered by materialism. They must be answered in the religious realm, and they can only be answered by God. Now, only the Bible, God's Word, can answer these questions. A professor in college cannot help you answer such questions unless he consults God's book. A philosopher can never provide solid answers to these questions because human reasoning and human thinking and human logic are not sufficient to find answers to life's most important questions. A scientist is very limited because he was not personally present when the world began, and he has no way to tell you what the future holds or what lies beyond the grave. Man by himself does not have the answers to such questions, but God does. God was present when the world began, and God certainly knows where man came from. Let me show you something. Go to Isaiah. Chapter 44, would you read verse 6?
6 Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God.
Wow. All right, look at verse 8 now.
8. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one.
Okay, no other God there. Yeah. Now, don't be afraid. I told you, you're my witnesses. But I like verse 6, and I was looking for my other verse where it says, declaring the end from the beginning. I can't find that one off the top of my, head. But he says, I'm the first and the last. Beside me, there's no other God. Is that 46? Let me see if I can find my chapter.
It says in Revelation, when I'm the Alpha and Omega.
Yes.
So I'm the beginning and the end.
And here's another one. Mm. Chapter 46, Isaiah 46.
46?
Uh-huh. Verses 9 and 10.
Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me.
Keep going.
Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure, all my pleasure, calling.
Okay, well, that's enough. Yes, right there, right? So he can declare, he can tell you the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
So that's our God. He was present, and he knows where we came from and where we're going. God even asked Job, he says, where wast thou? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Now each of us would have to answer, Lord, I wasn't there. I have no direct knowledge of these events. In order to understand my origin, I need to listen to the God who was there at the beginning and take him at his word. So secondly, God knows why we're here. He had a purpose. And we'll never find out the reason for our existence unless we find it out from God. I don't believe suicide has ever been as big a problem in the Western world as it has been over the last 50 to 100 years. And why do you think people, Killian, why do you think people turn to suicide?
Because
it's the best consequence of thinking there is nothing except this life, and there is no God, there will be nothing afterwards.
Yes.
The only consequence that someone would, the only logical consequence, I think.
Yes. When you do away with God, you do away with an originator, a creator, and an all-wise father. I mean, God's not just God. He's called the Father. When you do away with that, you do away with purpose. And you can only fake a purpose so long. And when failure comes into your life, and this is, who's the originator of failure in the Christian's life and disaster? Who's the originator of it?
Sin?
No.
Satan.
God. When Joseph was sold into slavery, who was responsible for that? God was. When Pharaoh was being judged in disaster after disaster, who was the originator of that? In the destruction of Egypt? God was. Who is the originator of disasters in our life and even our failures? It's always God. And so there is a purpose in everything. If you take God out of there, then when a disaster occurs, you go bankrupt. What do you think of? Suicide. When your wife leaves you, you commit suicide. When your boss fires you and it's the last job that you could ever get and there's just no more jobs to get, you commit suicide. Without God in the equation. That's why it's very important when we study the Bible that we realize it's more than information we're getting, it's answers we're getting. Does that make sense? All right, so answers. Number three, beware of counterfeit Bibles and false authorities. Now, an example is there are some real 20-euro notes out there, and there are counterfeit 20-euro notes. The counterfeit bills were made by dishonest men who desired to deceive people into thinking that their fake and phony notes are really genuine. They want you to think that their bills are real and valuable, but in reality, they are worthless. In the same way, there are men and women who have written books about God that are counterfeits. These books claim to be a message from God, but they are not from God at all. These authors want to deceive people into thinking that their books are the real thing. They're a revelation from God. And many are deceived into thinking that these counterfeits are really true. One such counterfeit is called the Book of Mormon. Considered to be the word, God's word, by those of the Mormon religion, Jehovah's Witnesses have distributed millions of copies of a small book entitled The Truth That Leads to Eternal Life. However, what this book tells a person to do to have eternal life contradicts what the Bible tells a person to do to have eternal life. Both books cannot be true. One must be a counterfeit. If one has the truth that leads to eternal life, then the other must have error that does not lead to eternal life. What does the Bible say a person must do to have eternal life? John 6:47. Let's look there. Yeah, Killian.
47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth not on me hath everlasting life.
Yeah. He that believeth on me, I don't know if I heard or not in there or not, but he that just believes on me hath everlasting life. Do you think that Jehovah's Witnesses would ever quote that verse by itself and say that's all you need?
No.
Of course not. That'd do away with their whole religion, wouldn't it? Do you think a Catholic would ever just say all you need is to believe on Jesus Christ?
Yes.
That all you need is to believe on Jesus Christ?
They wouldn't put the emphasis on all.
They're very deceptive. They would say, and you can't miss Mass, and you can't miss confession, and you need last rites, and they'll list a whole lot of extra things. So the all becomes very small, doesn't it? All right, so number D. The counterfeit Bible of the Mohammedans, or Muslims, the religion of Islam, is called the Quran. Mary Baker Eddy, who founded the Christian Science cult, wrote Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Keys not only open up things, they also lock up things. And sad to say, Mary Baker Eddy's book has locked up the truth and hidden it from many people. There are other books that claim to be holy books, which bring God's message to man. Beware of counterfeits. Is there a difference between the Bible and all these other religious books? Obviously, yes. Now, besides these, this is the truth. There are dozens and dozens of new Bibles for sale in Christian bookstores that are not God's Word. but they are perversions, and they are paraphrases, but they are not true translations. And we'll talk about that more in a later session. So, let's talk about the absolute truthfulness of God's Word. Augustine said this, "I have learned to yield such absolute respect and honor to the canonical, the 66 books of Scripture, that I most firmly believe that the authors thereof were completely free from any error." Martin Luther said, "The Scriptures have never erred. The Scriptures cannot err." John Wesley, a preacher in the 1700s, said, "If there be any mistakes in the Bible, there may as well be 1,000. If there be one falsehood in that book, it did not come from the God of truth." So somebody says, "I found a flaw, they should be able to say, "Well, I found thousands of them." It should be completely full of flaws. Charles Spurgeon, a great Baptist preacher of 150 years ago, said, "Come, search, ye critics, and find a flaw. Examine it from Genesis to Revelation and find an error. This is a vein of pure gold." He believed in the absolute truthfulness of God's Word. J.M. Frost, he was the founder and first secretary of the SS board, the Sunday School board of the Southern Baptist Convention, said, "We accept the Scriptures as an all-sufficient and infallible rule of faith and practice and insist upon the absolute inerrancy and sole authority of the Word of God. We recognize at this point no room for division, either of practice or belief, or even sentiment. More and more we must come to feel, as the deepest and mightiest power of our conviction, that thus saith the Lord is the end of all controversy." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thy word is truth." The example of Jesus regarding the inerrant Scriptures has been followed by faithful men throughout the ages, and those who come after them must not forsake their godly heritage. The Bible stands. Therefore, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Now, there are some different things. You can skip over what God's precious word can do for me. But we're going to run over to now, cross over to what is most important. What is most important? Go over to your next page there. This page here. Those things you can look at, that's just for reference, just what can God's word do for you. But I'm talking to the choir here. Alright, so what is most important? Well, what Bible to use? Go ahead and read that. We're going to go there in just a second there, but if you'll read Killian.
Recognizing counterfeit Bibles, not everything that calls itself a Bible is a Bible. Jesus said his very word would be here always, Matthew 24:35. So find them, learn them, and obey them. More about this later. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
So you got to, Jesus is promising that somewhere on this planet would be his words, and you'd always have access to them. Not every nation has to have his word. There were some nations that did not get God's word until the Reformation. There are some cultures and some languages, dialects, that don't have God's word at all still. That doesn't mean that they don't have a revelation about God. How does God reveal himself to the world, no matter where they are? Name me one way that God already gets people aware that he's there.
He spoke to Moses in the bush tree, and he said, "I'm the Lord, I'm the God." And he burnt the tree, the bush.
That's right.
Fire first.
But say if somebody today is on an island somewhere, and they've grown up never hearing of Jesus Christ, or the Bible or anything. Is God already illuminating or instructing them or telling them that he's there?
Yeah, by using the word God, John 3:16.
But they don't have the Bible. How would they know about God?
God must say, "Jesus loves you. God loves you. There's a God here, and the whole world is made by God."
But not everybody does everybody in India know about the God of the Bible?
Now it is very fast.
Now it is, because people are on the internet.
Everybody is converted to Christianity.
Hmm. And hope so.
Hindus, quick, my whole state has been transformed.
Okay. Well, before the advent of the internet and stuff, people learned about God just by looking at the stars. And just by learning, just by looking at the sky, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. So God is already telling everybody, I'm here, just by his creation. But that doesn't tell them how to get saved. How else does God reveal himself?
Like Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, by the creation. And by the conscience.
That's the second way. We already have a conscience that tells us what's right or wrong. So you don't even have to have a Bible to say you lied, or that was wrong to steal another man's wife, or so on and so forth. So but they'll never know God's name, and they'll never know about God's Son unless they get a Bible. Now, so can the devil mess up people's understanding of the universe? Kinda, but. Can the devil mess up people's conscience? Kinda. But where does the devil really work in order to get people from ever knowing God? Kind of a tough question. He works at changing the Bible so that people can't know God, can't know him well, or are confused about him. And so the one big area that is constantly under attack is the devil. Did you have to leave today early?
Yes.
What time? Now?
No.
All right. Well, why don't we just end up? I forgot that you had to leave here early. We'll just stop on this thing, because there's a lot of
what's the answer, Pastor? Now you see.
Well, the answer. Well, I'm just giving you some thinking about the way that the devil works is in making false Bibles. There are so many people right now. There's a push to make God neuter, where he's not male or female, and there have been Bibles that have been published since the 1970s that make God neither he nor she. It's an it, and it's pretty sad.
So how to make the atheist to believe that there is a God? You don't, that's due to the ignorance of God. Atheists, they don't believe.
Well, no, nobody's ignorant of God. They all know about God, but they become fools. Everybody chooses to stop believing in God. Okay. Now that's the problem. Will I see you tonight?
No.
All right.
Tomorrow.
I'll see you tomorrow. God bless you guys. Bye.
See you.
Bye bye.
So I have to stop believing in God. But they know there's a God, but they don't believe in God.
Yeah, they don't know him.
They don't know who he is.
They don't know who he is.